It's time for 41 is the Mic, a weekly Chiefs podcast with Nick Jacobs of KSHB 41 and Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. 41 is the Mic starts now.
Welcome back, everyone, to 41 is the Mic. Happy New Year to one and all. It is a Chiefs Victory Monday. And of course, alongside me, as always, is New Year's enthusiast Nick Jacobs from KSHB 41. Nick?
Hello, Matt. See, you know, hey, new year, new us, new podcast, right?
I mean this with a great deal of love. And this is why, once again, everyone needs to go to YouTube to watch the podcast. As well as listening to it. But Nick, you look more like Elton John than I ever imagined you possibly looking.
Well, if I take,
and that's a compliment.
If I take the glasses and the hat off, I'll look like Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson in that that photo that goes around. I just won't be wearing a fanny pack. So, but look, Matt, hey, it's the holidays. It brings out the best of me. There's two things that bring out the best of me: the holidays and sugar. So if we got one of the two, it's going to happen. And maybe the Chiefs, you know, sometimes you never know. But, you know, football in general, you know, actually now that I think about it, we're going through my passions here. All those can be involved, as well as the NFL draft. That actually, but I consider that a holiday personally. That's like a holiday weekend.
See, that's why you are a legend, Nick, because you find joy in so many different aspects of life that I appreciate. That's what makes me love you, because it's not just one day a year. You find joy in so many different things. And I get it. After the NFL draft, there's a lull. I mean, that's your off season. But, you know, even I think you feel like you're probably even a Groundhog Day enthusiast.
You know what? You never know. I mean, you know, they gotta have something here locally for me to get passionate about, involve some barbecue with it or some other kind of food that makes it special to groundhogs. And you know what, Matt? I'll dress up for that too, okay?
Are you telling me we can't barbecue the groundhog?
I mean, I don't know if you want to do that on the day related to if we're going to see a shadow or not.
You pull the groundhog out of the ground and you barbecue it.
Let's keep workshopping that, you know? We'll see if we can find something.
Well, one thing we don't have to workshop anymore mm-hmm. is a Chiefs victory. Boom. Transition.
Sorry, this thing didn't make noise. You saw it on the video. This thing, I bought it and it's supposed to make noise. It didn't work out. So, you know, no sound effect on that one. I apologize.
It's the visual effect still works, though.
Okay, that's all I asked for. Don't worry, we got a big finish here at the end if I can know how to operate this thing.
Well, the Chiefs gave everybody a great New Year's Eve celebration with a 25-17 victory on Sunday. Something we had not seen in a while, Nick, a Chiefs home win. And not only that, but it gives them their eighth straight AFC West Championship, which is now the second longest streak in NFL history for division titles. It's been an incredible stretch by this team. And really, I mean, this was different in so many different ways, because they actually started off on a positive, Nick. They scored a touchdown on the opening drive.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of one of the goals I had coming in for them for the week. Like, hey, if they can go down and have a good first drive, like the first 15 of weeks and years past, then I think that they got a really good shot to be able to kind of make this game, dictate this game, and go approach it the way they want on offense. And yeah, that first drive, that was what they needed. That was what that football team needed, confidence wise, both on offense and defense. So for that to happen, I felt gave them a jolt and really kind of carried them through the game. I know there was ups and downs and iffy red zone work that cost them from being able to really put that game away. But like, that's what they needed. That's what they, you know, their work paid off from the week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, because that was one of the things that we kind of heard a lot this week, was about kind of getting back to basics and keeping it simple. And there were no trick plays in this one. This was meat and potatoes. I mean, this was just kind of classic Chiefs. A lot of the short game, running the football. Nothing too fancy. Just, you know, really just trying to pound away at the Bengals and be consistent. And for the most part, they obviously did it on the opening drive. I mean, the closest thing they had to a negative play was the sack for 0 yards with the Mahomes on the scrambling out of bounds. But other than that, no mistakes on the opening drive and converting third and eight for the touchdown out of Isaiah Pacheco. That kind of was the signal of things to come, because a couple of things that the Chiefs did really well in this game was obviously get the ball out quickly to their playmakers, but also run the ball with Isaiah Pacheco, career high 130 yards. That was, it got started obviously right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good balancing act for the Chiefs in terms of getting the ball to Noah Gray, getting it to Rice, trying to attempt to get it to everybody that they could, and then balancing that in with an effective run and Pacheco busting off that one big run. Like, that was the spark that they were missing the previous week whenever he ended up going out there down the stretch against the Raiders with a concussion. And I tell you what, man, there was about four or five hits Pacheco took during that game that I'm like, man, with him coming off the head injury, I'm really nervous about that hit. And I mean, thankfully he was able to play through everything. And hey, if they want to rest him this week, I'm all for it, you know, because they need him for the playoff stretch. Give that man as much rest as you can this week. But yeah, no, Pacheco was a big part. Rice obviously had some big plays, and like, they found a rhythm again at various points during the game. The next step for them is finding more creativity in the red zone that can allow them to be able to get to the primary receiver they're wanting, or to kind of create some more favorable wide open options. And other thing I will say, I know some people I watched are frustrated with Mahomes checking down that looked like Alex Smith a couple of times, you know, where it checked it down and it wasn't going to get to the sticks and wasn't going to convert. I felt like he was told during the week to do that and not force it, not turn it over, because he made some smart plays that he was okay with settling with the field goal if he had to. And when you think about it, he really didn't do as much fire drill stuff as he had in previous games. It was a lot more structured, and he did a good job playing within the structure. And like, those were the big things I took away, and it just felt more organized, felt less chaotic. Some of the stuff may have not worked, and I get that, and there was stuff they probably could have built off of if they felt more comfortable. But it really felt like whenever Andy said they were trying to get back to the basics, it felt like they got back to the foundation of building this offense, and will truly slowly try to, well, not slowly, but quickly have to build it up, you know, in practice this week, and then try to build it up again for that first game in the playoffs and really try to capitalize on what they did. But they created a lot of proper momentum that they're going to need down the road here.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the red zone, and yes, they were 1 of 3 in the red zone, which is not ideal. You obviously, if they'd get one of those into the end zone, you would have felt a lot better about it. But, you know, still 7 scoring drives. That is, once again, not what this team had been doing lately. I mean, they haven't really been getting those scoring opportunities, and they've had to kind of make their own. And again, I mean, the offense was able to do that against the Bengals, which is something that hadn't been happening of late. But, you know, when you talk about the, you know, just doing the basics, and it, to me, it leads into kind of the next thing that this offense needs to kind of evolve back into, which is that if you do the basics right, if you're doing the little fundamentals and you're getting the ball out quickly to guys, and defenses have to pay attention to that, suddenly what the Chiefs want to do is open. And that happened in the second half with that big ball to Rashee Rice, because to me, you know, that play gets set up because of what the Chiefs were doing, running the football effectively, you know, really working underneath so that you can get the safeties looking in one direction. You can get a one-on-one matchup for Rashee Rice, and you can exploit it. I mean, and that's kind of, I felt like that didn't happen by accident. I mean, that play happened because of what led up to it. Am I wrong?
Yeah, there's that. And then also just the previous weeks of Rice being out there getting those reps with Mahomes and having to feel his way through a defense and having those opportunities to kind of grow in on the field and on the job training in the way that he had to do. So yeah, I mean, I it was a big moment for him, and it was a big moment for his development and his career and where it can go from here down the road. And it's funny because that play, when I saw it, boy, that reminded me a lot of that preseason play that he, you know, that he unfortunately dropped. That was going to be a touchdown. Very eerily similar, and it shows from preseason when he dropped it versus this time when he executed it. I know it wasn't the same look and formation, but it was in a similar spot of the field when it happened and how it went about. But I mean, yeah, no, it just shows where he was whenever he dropped that wide open thing last time versus this time. in a crucial key moment, he caught it. And that's only going to help him not only come playoff time, but just down the road next year with his confidence and what he's seeing, what he's reading, and the work he's putting in, paying off in a big moment for the Chiefs offense.
And I'll be honest, I was just like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he needs to get those knees up, because I thought when he caught it and the space that he had, I thought he was gone, Nick.
Oh, yeah, no, there was a point. The only thing, I know this is just kind of how the season's gone to where I'm mentally at with it. Like, whenever things like that happen, I'm like, hey, just hold on to the ball, man. I don't care if you get to the – I mean, I love you. Love if you get to the end zone. But, man, just hold on to the ball. Just hold on to the ball. Let's keep this explosive play positive. Let's, you know, because the way things have gone this season, you have a big moment like that, and then the ball gets punched out, and then, you know, and then the other team takes over, and, like, you're just kind of in the tailspin again. Because, like, when the Wanya Morris, you know, whenever he got beat by Hendrickson and that ball got knocked out, when the Chiefs are getting ready to start that next momentum drive, I mean, that was definitely a buzz kill, and you didn't know if they were going to be able to bounce back from that and be like, oh, here it is. This is going to be here we go again. And it wasn't, because they're able to bounce back from it and everything. So, yeah, no, it's the team needed to go through a lot of those moments and a lot of those experiences to start to get who they are back, maybe identity-wise, but also kind of believe in themselves again. I know that sounds weird to say with the defending Super Bowl champion, but, I mean, look at the Eagles. The Eagles have been tailing, spinning. Both those teams since that Monday Night Football game have both been struggling, and that kind of speaks to just, you know, like, it's tough in the NFL. It's tough to stay on top, and both teams that had strong starts are both, you know, the Eagles lost to the Cardinals a week after the Chiefs lost to the Raiders, and the Cardinals are, you know, an even worse team than what the Raiders are. And so, like, you know, that's just the NFL, man.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. I mean, when the Chiefs and the Eagles met, and certainly I even go back to week 7, you know, after week 7 when the Chiefs were 6-1 and atop the AFC, Eagles were atop the AFC. I mean, these were the two best teams in both conferences. And, you know, and the Chiefs were 2 games up on, I think it was the Raiders, and 3 games up on the rest of the division. When the Chiefs were 6-1, we had no idea that they were going to have to fight and grit their teeth all the way and grind all the way through week 17 before they clinched the AFC West. I mean, this seemed like it was going to be another one of those seasons. But last night, on that final offensive drive where they're just trying to run out the clock, and well, not the next, that was the next to last drive, I guess. But the defense was on the sideline, the offense was on the field, and the defense was dancing. I mean, that was and I think that part of it was the opponent, because there's no love lost between these two teams. Yeah. I mean, it's emotional both ways. But that was the most, I mean, I think, emotional that I've seen this team this season. I mean, and this is, for lack of a better word, Steve Spagnuolo, favorite word, I think. That was the first time I've seen this team have swagger this year, I think.
Yeah, probably so, because they were starting to have fun again. And it kind of felt, here's what I will say about the game and the back and forth and everything. That is one of the closest, outside of, I want to say, the Eagles game, that felt like a playoff atmosphere, that truly felt like, and Buffalo Chiefs did to a certain extent, but not like the Bengals Chiefs did yesterday, because the Chiefs had a lot at stake, and maybe that's more mentally where I think the Chiefs fan base and Chiefs media was at, was like, you had to win to get in, and then if you didn't, next week you're playing for your playoff life, like, to even, you know, to have to maybe get in, maybe not. So you had to close it out, and like that's the most urgency that it's been for the Chiefs to really have to win or put their backs against the wall more so than ever. And that's where that 6-1 lead kind of honestly helped them build up to where they could stumble to in the way that they have and still not just completely erase their season. So, yeah, no, that Bengals game, I know it wasn't Joe Burrow at quarterback, but yeah, that game had a lot of what you would expect from a playoff game, and I think that was very, very similar to what a Chiefs playoff game is going to be like. And part of it, the approach the Chiefs will have to take to kind of just keep the game close and win it close when they have to.
At halftime, it didn't necessarily feel like this was going to be that game. I mean, you know, the Chiefs ended up winning by 8, and I mean, it felt like at the end, at least, a comfortable win. The Chiefs were just, I mean, obviously they outscored the Bengals in the second half significantly, helped to shut out the Bengals in the second half, so that certainly helped. I mean, and you scored 12 to nothing in the second half, so, I mean, that tells you a lot about the contest as it was. But halftime, Chiefs trailed by four, 17-13. Defense has given up some points. Pass rush didn't look sharp, but there was a flip of the switch. I mean, they really did some things defensively differently in the second half, buttoned up a lot of the things that were leaking in the second half. What were your thoughts about the defensive performance in this one?
Yeah, I thought they really, early on, they were just trying to get a pulse for what, or trying to get a feel for what the Bengals were going to attack in them. And what the Bengals did is what a lot of other teams had done. They went after Nick Bolton, and there's certain times the other linebackers that they were trying to manipulate, whether it was Willie Gay or if Leo Chanel was on the field, like they wanted to go after people who weren't Drew Tranquil at linebacker. And so that's the approach they took. That's what they ended up doing. And like, they had a lot of success against that. And so the Chiefs kind of had to recalibrate some stuff. And part of it was really clever what they did there in the third quarter. And I know Romo did a good job showing it in the broadcast a couple of times, where they would take a corner almost from completely the opposite side of the field and have them be the double that would help on Ja'Marr Chase to make stuff look open, but then take it away so that they could potentially, you know, get Browning to maybe throw a pick or something. And so they tested that out. And then, you know, obviously they had the safety help at times with Chase or Higgins if they needed to. But yeah, no, it was just the Chiefs pass rush wasn't as effective as I thought they would be. They normally had to bring five and maybe sometimes six to really kind of rush Browning and have him make some bad decisions or eat the ball and get him into some favorable down and distances. The front four just didn't have the same effectiveness that I anticipated and thought they would. But part of it was the Bengals were really wanting to get that ball out quick when they could. And then when they had Browning kind of hold it a tick longer, they were able to attack some of those things. So it's probably a product of both. But, hey, when they needed to close it out in the second half there against Browning with some of the pressures they had, some of the sacks they did, they really put him in some bad down and distances that honestly made him shy with the football. And that's what you're trying to do when it matters.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that stood out to me, because I felt like Steve Spagnuolo was kind of testing his jabs a little bit in the first half, because he talked about at one point during the week about how, you know, the Bengals have kind of attacked them in different ways and beaten them in different ways. You know, sometimes it's been the run. They'll focus on that, and then they've beaten them deep. When they've been, you know, working on that, you know, the screen pass has beaten them. And I thought even like the blitz that L'Jarius Sneed had in the first half, where he just pulled up and didn't continue through with it, there was hesitance there. I felt like it was a little bit of that. It's like, wait a minute, you know what? I got to be cognizant that I'm not going to get beat on a screen here or something. So it felt to me like that the Chiefs defensively were just played with a little bit of that hesitancy in the first half, not wanting to give up the big play. But in the second half, like you said, and why I feel cautiously optimistic that this team can be dangerous in the playoffs, this defense looks like the kind of defense that if it gets a lead, it isn't giving it up. They just play too well, you know, with the lead, and when they can get a team behind the chains, if they can get teams into unfavorable positions and defending a lead, I don't know how you're going to come back against this defense, because they just play like junkyard dogs in that situation.
Yeah, and it's going to take an offense that's got the mental toughness to be able to battle through some of that, or also just be able to reset on every single drive and forget the past drives and, you know, and be able to kind of just continue to play drive by drive. And I think obviously the Ravens are a team that can do that. The Bills 50-50, because the Bills are going to try to attack the linebackers if they played them. But no, I mean, you're right. I mean, like, yes, it just takes the, I know it sounds bad of me to say, but it just takes the offense having rhythm to it and being steady. And in all honesty, like I was concerned whenever the time of possession between the two of them, whenever the Bengals were over 21 minutes by half and the Chiefs were at 8 on offense and the Bengals had doubled them in plays, and they had doubled them in plays definitively there by that third quarter, whenever they got out there and took over. So, I mean, like, the defense was out on the field a lot and wasn't able to get off the field. And so that's something that they'll have to they're going to have to look at and figure out a way to adjust when it comes to playoff time. But no, I mean, like, yeah, if the offense can go out and score and the defense can just, it gives the Chiefs defense some jolts. Like, I think that's that's a good recipe that can help the Chiefs. It's just a matter if that Chiefs defense can force some turnovers come playoff time that gets the offense a couple more possessions, then I think the Chiefs, they have a formula that can work right now, and that's what I think they should take away from the Bengals game, no matter how good or bad the Bengals defense is.
I mean, to me, this was the formula for how the Chiefs are going to have to win in the postseason if they want to. Protect the ball at all costs on offense. Play defense like this. It's that simple. I mean, that's hard to do. It's simple to say, but the plan actually has to be that easy. I mean, of all the Chiefs' offensive flaws, I mean, I think the one thing that's most in their control is protecting the football. If they can do that, if they can have seven scoring drives, even if six of them end with field goals, and their defense plays like it has most of the season, that's a formula for winning football in the postseason.
Yeah, and then their numbers still, as you and I've chatted about throughout the season, still had to figure out a way to get to 24 in whatever way you had to. And you probably have to bump that up come playoff time, depending on who you're going against and the circumstances. But that's part of the reason why I was okay with, you know, them not utilizing Mecole Hardman, because if you can save some of those vertical shots for playoff time that you were potentially going to use, but you didn't, then I'm good with that, to where you kind of left some of those on the back burner for when it decides your season and the fate of your season.
There's one more bow we absolutely have to put on this game before we start looking at week 18 and what could lie ahead in the postseason, Nick. And I need you to explain something to me.
Yeah.
Can you possibly explain why Ja'Marr Chase was trying to bait the Chiefs defense and L'Jarius Sneed and Willie Gay all week and continued to after he lost the game?
I personally think I think that's what makes the game fun for him. And I know that sounds weird to say, but I think that was him motivating himself, because in his mind, I think he wants his opponents at their very best, and he wants to know that he beat them at their very best. So for him, that's the internal challenge that I think he creates for himself, is, well, hey, I'm going to say this, that Chiefs defense, I know how they react if I say something. I'm going to do that so I know I got their very best and I got in their head. And he takes pride in getting in opponents' heads, clearly, because he keeps doing it. And like I think he would have been more bummed out if they didn't even acknowledge that he existed after every single play. I think that would have bothered him more and gotten in his head than the way that they responded and probably talked to him, or I know they talked to him because the way he said some things after the fact and the scuffle that ended up happening there. So no, I would just say if I was a part of the Chiefs staff, I'd be like, hey, when next time they play, I'm gonna be like, hey, just don't even acknowledge him. Just walk away. That's actually going to bother him more, that you are not taking the bait and that that's not working. And that's actually going to work him up mentally more so than you playing into it and, you know, take the motivation of what he's saying, just don't react to it in the way that he's looking for, because every time you do, you feed him and kind of help him stay locked into the game, help him stay competitive at the top level, and give him something to kind of do and think about that isn't about the pain he probably has in his shoulder on every single time he's making a play.
And yet his running mate, T. Higgins, fairly complimentary of the Chiefs.
Yes, he was. And that was very kind of him to be that complimentary to the Chiefs. It's almost like he's a free agent and wants to give himself an opportunity if he, by some miracle, hits the market. I think the Bengals are going to be stubborn and franchise tag him in the offseason, because I think they're probably scared that he will go to the Chiefs if they let him walk. But I mean, there's only so many people they're going to be able to pay in Cincinnati. And I know people can point to the salary cap and say they got plenty of money. Yeah, but, you know, owners have to pay that escrow. And like, that's what people keep forgetting, is you got to put that money in escrow to be able to account for all the guarantees in that contract and have it available. And, you know, if I'm in an owner's shoes, there's only so much money I want to write checks for out of your own pocket to have to accommodate certain things. And they wrote a lot for Joe Burrow, and they're going to have to write a lot for Ja'Marr Chase here in the future. So, I mean, like, you know, it's not, and they've written some in the past for some of the guys on defense. That stuff's not as cheap as people want to just think it is. And it's not all just salary cap based.
No, and that's why I joke about this because it's that kind of sounds fun to me in a way, a perverse way. Chiefs fans, don't get mad at me. Don't take it the wrong way. But after all the talking back and forth, it would completely and totally make sense if L'Jarius Sneed, bolted to the Bengals in the offseason and became teammates with Ja'Marr Chase. That would be even better than, Eli Apple becoming teammates with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But it won't happen because the Bengals are way too cheap to make that happen. So rest assured, Bengals will not, here in me predicting the Bengals will not be in the market for L'Jarius Sneed. So you got that.
All right, Matt. I'm not going to be that bold, but props to you. I will salute you if that ends up being the case.
My bold off-season take.
Yeah, already starting. So you can tell it's 2024 if you're already giving bold off-season takes.
Well, here's another bold take. The Bengals will not be in the playoffs. The Chiefs have ensured that.
Yeah.
So, but we still don't know who's going to be in the playoffs. But one thing the Chiefs have to deal with first is obviously next week and week 18 against the Chargers. And the very definition of a low impact game because the Chiefs are locked into the three seed. They cannot move up, they cannot move down. There is absolutely nothing that they can even do to influence the outcome of their opponent. So this is the very, ideal version of a game that if you're a playoff team, you want to rest your starters, and history would certainly tell you in a game like this that Andy Reid will take that opportunity. Where do you stand, Nick? What do you think Andy Reid will do? And certainly, what should he do?
Well, I mean, the first thing is obviously getting Kelce to 1,000 yards. I think they're somewhere between 16 or 18 yards away from doing that. So whatever you got to do on the first drive to get him that, go ahead and do that. Scheme whatever open you got to with a wide receiver screen, with whatever you need to do, or maybe catches out of the flats. I don't care. But, do something along those lines. Get him his yards. Get him out. Patrick Mahomes, I'm okay if he doesn't see the field at all. Like, that's okay. He can enjoy the game and we can let watch the Blaine Gabbert experience and Chiefs offensive line. I mean, like, Wanya Morris needs the reps either way, so he deserves to stay in there. And Donovan Smith, I mean, that's debatable on what you want to do with Donovan Smith. If you want to give him a couple series just so he's gotten back in that game speed for if you need him come playoff time. Jawan Taylor, let's be honest, he could use the reps. And then, you decide what you want to do along the rest of that offensive line. But receiver wise, I think it's a great opportunity for to give Justin Ross a lot of snaps, give Richie James a lot of snaps, work Mecole Hardman in to a certain extent to get him ready for playoff time. And if you want to keep Rice fresh and give him some, but not really try to stretch him too much, I'd do that. And MVS, I'd make play the entire game. Like, I mean, earn that $10 million after what looked like happened yesterday during that game. And I'll bring it up now. I forgot to bring it up earlier. Whenever he dropped that one pass that was placed on his hip by Mahomes, he gestured afterwards, and I don't about where the it appeared. I'm not saying
Here.
definitively, but it appeared to be him trying to showcase where that ball was placed and blaming that on why it may have been dropped. That may not have been what he actually did.
Right.
That's what it's going to appear non-verbally from people that are observing the game, including myself. But it does not, that's not definitively, I can't say that's exactly what he was doing. But that's what that appeared like. And if that's the case, with how many times Mahomes has fallen on that sword for all the wide receivers, including him when he's dropped passes in Green Bay, when he's dropped passes in Philly, and Mahomes fell on that sword and said, I need to place those better. I need to do this. I need to do this better. I need to do that better. That quarterback has taken arrows for you. And then you do that. Yet again, that shows you are not the leader of that wide receiver room that they paid you to be. And that is unacceptable in itself. And that's why you probably need to go in 2024 and go find yourself a new home and a new opportunity to where maybe you have a better attitude. So, but that's a 2024 problem that'll be down the road here in the next month or two that they can figure out. But that was, I'm sorry, but like if you're a leader of the wide receiver room, you don't do that to the quarterback, especially the quarterback that's protected you a lot more publicly than he needs to. But hey, it's just another thing you add to the list and par for the course about things that have happened over the past 2 years that show that it's probably not a good fit for both parties.
Yeah, and you know, my kind of take on the final week. I mean, first of all, they're with the receivers. That's definitely no reason to leave anybody inactive. I mean, you've been having 6-7 receivers acting all season, so no reason to really sit anybody down. But it should be an opportunity to get some of the, especially like a Richie James, which I still don't understand why he's not getting more reps, but coaches know more than I do. They see more of him and know more of him than I do, so you got to trust the process. But it would be nice, I think, to see Rashee Rice get a shot at 1,000 yards. So getting him, I think, some opportunities would be good. And he's a rookie, too, so probably keeping him in the flow of the game would be nice. Mm-hmm. Very conflicted on what the Chiefs might do with Travis Kelce, because I honestly could see Kelce saying, hey, it's not that big of a deal. Give me the week of rest. I need it. Yeah. I can also see a lot of the people in the Chiefs organization who really want that for him and encouraging him to go after it. The catch is that if Travis Kelce plays, you know who's going to want to play. 15's going to want to play. 15's going to say, I'm not going to send Travis out there without me, so let me go out there and help Trav get his 16 yards, and then we can sit down. Whereas I'm with you, I would make Mahomes inactive. I would elevate Chris Oladokun, and it's the Blaine and Chris show on Sunday. But we'll see, and you're right. I mean, there's quite a few guys that are banged up. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing wholesale on the offensive and defensive line. Let Chris Jones sit. Chris is well aware that he has 9.5 sacks, and there's a bonus at 10, but I don't think he's too concerned. I think the check's going to get written anyway, so I don't think that's a worry for Chris Jones. But, hey, you know what? You might need some guys. So Lucas Niang, getting some reps, tackle, I wouldn't mind seeing. Nick Allegretti could use some work, and Trey Smith been banged up, so there's an opportunity to get a lot of guys some rest. Mm-hmm. Hey, B.J. Thompson, Neil Farrell, they've never played all season. Let him get some reps. I mean, this is your opportunity. And obviously, L'Jarius Sneed should not be active. Let him sit and get some rest. There's a lot of guys on this team who could really – and remember, they're not going to have a bye week this year, so this is your opportunity to have a bye week. So I wouldn't be opposed to anybody sitting that they want to sit this week.
Yeah, keep as many of the starters fresh as you can. And treat it, I could say this way, but treat it like a preseason game, to where if they need a series, if you want the offense to have a series and you know you can get them down there to score and punch it in, I'm not against that. But this is something I hope they bring up with the competition committee down the road. Part of me kind of wants them to treat the final 4 weeks of the season kind of like the minor league call-ups in September. To where I think from a roster perspective, get rid of the two standard elevations. Make it to where you have all those guys available, because with the – and even if it's the final two games, I don't care. But, like, give those guys the reward of having been a part of that practice squad the entire year. Allow those guys to get reps, so if there is opportunity for them to get reps, they can. And I think it would be really good for the game, and I know it sounds weird. I think it would also be good for the product as well, collectively, and I'm talking all NFL, to where all the guys are eligible the final couple, 2-3 weeks of the year, they're eligible for it. So then if there are players that you don't, you know, from a playoff perspective, and here's the kicker, that's going to make the playoff product better. I know it sounds weird to say, but that's going to make for some better games if you're essentially given a, you know, opportunity for another bye or two for some other teams to kind of rest some specific guys. It may not seem like it, but you would rather have a fresh Chiefs team headed into that wild card round to help your wild card ratings, and a fresh, you know, Cowboys team or a fresh Lions team, or, you know, whatever it may be. I would think you'd want to have as fresh as you can for players so that you have a better product that opening weekend. And then divisional is already obviously, you know, and helps the divisional round a little bit, and obviously so on and so forth. So that's kind of something I was thinking about. I was like, if the Chiefs had more numbers available from their practice squad, yes, it may not be, you know, what you want, but if you've earned that opportunity, like, that's a deserving opportunity for all those practice squad guys to get some reps, put some stuff on tape, whether it's with the Chiefs or down the road with, you know, so the teams have it of them in a regular season game. And then also kind of, you know, just allow that opportunity. I don't know. I think that'd be something I hope the league kind of explores down the road. You've already added an extra game for everybody for the year. So if you do that, then I think that should be made available for the final couple of weeks when you're down that stretch and you've got a lot of guys on IR that you've had to juggle.
You've inspired me, Nick, because I was already going to write a story in this offseason that I had planned about just some changes to the rules and the approach that I would make to make the NFL product better and make the mm-hmm. games more enjoyable, especially for fans. You've inspired. That's going on the list now, because I mean, even if you just made, like, in the final 2 weeks, 53 active mm-hmm. players, 60 players on the roster, or at least, you know, you could, you know, have a unlimited number of practice squad elevations, whatever have you. Yeah. I mean, but the idea that right now the Chiefs are going into this game and, you know, they have to pick or choose. They have to kind of pick or choose whether they want Patrick Mahomes to sit or play a little bit. I mean, they can't have both. I mean, they can't have the odd prospect of maybe giving Chris Oladokun some snaps and Patrick Mahomes, so that if he wanted to go play a drive with Travis Kelce and get his 16 yards and fans in Los Angeles could get to see Patrick Mahomes play, now, you know, Chiefs have no option of that. They really, you know, have to kind of go one way. You can't have kind of both with Chris active. Then, you know, maybe Patrick doesn't play the entire game. And so there might be a fan in Los Angeles going to their only Chargers game of their life who isn't going to get to see Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce play, maybe. That stinks. Yeah. You know, so if they had a chance even, you know, to make it optional, you know, for those guys, because if the Chiefs had that option, if they had the ability to just send those guys out for a drive mm-hmm. to keep them fresh, they'd probably do that. Treat it like a third preseason game kind of thing. They'd probably do that. So you've inspired me, Nick. I'm all for it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Call it the December call-ups.
There you go. December to remember. Yeah. In the NFL.
Exactly.
Well, after week 18, then we get the real fun, the playoff start.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the Chiefs will be hosting a playoff game. We do not know when. We know it can be one of three different days, with the NFL spreading the wild card fun over an entire weekend and a Monday. But the opponent is definitely undecided. Now, we do know that of the, I guess we're told, 32 different scenarios that are out there, 50% are the Miami Dolphins. And that's clearly and only if the Buffalo Bills beat Miami on Sunday night and become the AFC champions, the Dolphins would be locked into the sixth seed. So in theory, I guess you could say they're the most likely possibility, although I think the Dolphins will be our favorite in that game. It's a home game for them. So your actual percentage chances may vary. But it seems like much more likely is that the Chiefs are going to end up hosting somebody from the AFC South, which, once again, could be anybody. It could be Houston. It could be Indy. It could be Pittsburgh from the North. Buffalo is a scenario as well. I mean, about the only team the Chiefs can't play is Jacksonville. That's kind of still alive in the mix. But your druthers, Nick, I mean, how do you think that this weekend is going to shake out as far as how the playoff picture will look?
Yeah, I'll just pull up the playoffs and look. I think the Texans are a better team than the Colts. And as long as Stroud's in a good spot, like, I think they win that one. The Ravens really don't have anything to play for. So in that situation, I think the Steelers are going to come away with that one. And then that'll cause pressure. So now that I've looked those scenarios up, let's see what that sheet shows at this point. So, yeah, I think the Chiefs will have their opponent narrowed down after the Saturday night games are over, because basically then they can, if they need to, they can start prepping for whoever wins the Texans Colts game. Then they can prep for the Steelers if they need to, because they've already looked at they've already prepped for the Bills, they've already prepped for the Dolphins, and they've played them. So, like, I mean, they have a good idea on those and how they need to approach those two parts of that. So that's why the Chiefs, it's not going to be as taxing as if you're doing four fresh opponents that you don't know anything about and you're just kind of, you know, going through the motions and everything. But I think they'll probably start, you know, you have an option to start prepping for that. And if they need to, they'll have a really good picture by 10 or 11 p.m. on Saturday night about what's going on there. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, because I'm curious to see how the Chiefs do against the Dolphins at Arrowhead, if that happens. I'm obviously going to be more nervous if the Chiefs play the Bills. Doesn't mean any of those teams can't beat the Chiefs. It just, you know, Tyreek at Arrowhead is what everybody wants to see. Like, that's the one thing that's still missing from this season. And then there's probably some people that want to see the Ravens take on the Chiefs. But, I mean, the Ravens looked incredibly explosive against the Dolphins yesterday, and they had a variety of ways they were able to beat the Dolphins. So that one's going to be, you know, that one's going to be interesting if they match up at that point in whatever way they potentially would, which would be with the way the seeding is now, it'd have to be the AFC Championship game. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Browns are going to be an interesting football team, and I'll I don't obviously the Chiefs aren't going to be taking on them, but that's the Browns are the team you're rooting for if you want the Chiefs to host an AFC Championship game. Like that's the team you're kind of like, hey, I hope they can make it so that the Chiefs can play the Browns in the AFC Championship at Arrowhead. Like that's kind of what you're hoping for if you're trying to get back to a Super Bowl. Doesn't mean the Browns aren't a tough team and that they, you know, that the Chiefs wouldn't have troubles with them. It's just that's the way you're hosting more than likely an AFC Championship game, you know, at home for the 16th consecutive year. What about you, Matt?
You kind of laid out what is, I think, the best optimistic picture for the Chiefs, which would still be tough. But it would be, obviously, Cleveland wins that 4-5 game against whoever they end up matching up with, which would put them into a position that if rest of the chalk holds with the 2 and 3 seeds, whomever that's Buffalo or Miami, yeah, you would have to go on the road at Buffalo or Miami, but that would give Cleveland and Miami, I mean, that would give Cleveland a chance to go and be off, knock off Baltimore, because I do think they're the best equipped to be able to do that. And then you could host an AFC Championship game. Well, I guess you really could. Yeah, it would if it ended up being. No, I'm getting confused in my math now. I'm confusing everybody too, because for the lower seed to be
the lowest remaining seed will play the Ravens, which would be
It would have to be the two. So the Chiefs, the Chiefs would host if they win. Obviously, yes, they beat the 2 seed. Thank you. Math is finally paying off for me.
Nailed
you beat
it.
Buffalo or Miami, then Cleveland knocks off Baltimore. You host Buffalo or Miami for the AFC Championship game. Yes, now that we're back exactly where you were 30 seconds ago.
You're fine. Yeah, it's just like the road it's going to be is more than likely you're either hosting the Steelers or an AFC South team. That remains. Then you're going on the road to take on the AFC East team, whether that's the Bills or Dolphins, if you made it to that point. And then finally, you're likely going to Baltimore, or you're hosting against the Browns, who have done a phenomenal job to get to that point. And that's kind of the road that the Chiefs have set themselves up for if it gets to that point. So, I mean, you know, that's a lot of tough opponents. It's a lot of tough teams, a lot of tough scenarios to get to that point. And the Chiefs are going to have to play better than what they did against the Bengals, but they're on the Bengals put them on the right path, but they're going to have to really crank that up in wild card. They're going to have to crank it up even more in the divisional round. And it'll be, I know it sounds bad to say, it will be an accomplishment if they make it to the AFC Championship, because that means they did a heck of a job fixing things and doing what they said they're going to do overall to kind of reach that moment.
So here's my last question for you on the playoff picture, Nick, is which would you rather do? As the Chiefs, would you rather play in the divisional round at Miami or at Buffalo?
I would rather they play at Miami than Buffalo, personally, because I think they'd have a tough time in Buffalo, and I think they're gonna have a tough time no matter where they play Buffalo. But I'll be curious to see how the Chiefs defense does against Miami Dolphins offense. But the Miami Dolphins defense losing Bradley Chubb to the ACL thing on Monday and then losing Phillips a couple weeks ago, right around Thanksgiving against the Jets game, like they've lost a lot of their reliable pass rush. At this point, you now know you can focus on Wilkins and Siler inside. And it's not going to be as tough and daunting, and they're going to have to be – Vic Fangio is going to have to be more creative, and I don't know if he's willing to be that aggressive. Like, he's going to have to become playoff time. And then we'll see what happens with Xavier Howard. And I know Jalen Ramsey's had the knee issue as well. So, I mean, the key players they need with their scheme to work are really, really beat up. And so that's why it would not stun me if the Bills go down to Miami, win, and they're the 2. And then the Chiefs have to host the Dolphins. And then if they win, they got to go play the Bills in Buffalo. Like, that – those scenarios would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form. But selfishly, I think a lot of people want to see Tyreek Hill at Arrowhead. And that becomes the wild card game of the weekend if Tyreek Hill returns to Arrowhead. Like, that's one of the more compelling matchups without having seen anything, like that's the matchup everybody wanted to see, but the game ended up in Germany.
Yeah, and I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording today, but yeah, the Chiefs are going to be one of the two marquee games on Wildcard mm-hmm. Weekend. It'll be the Chiefs, and really, I mean, if the Cowboys are in the Wildcard round, Dallas will be the TV darling game that everybody will want. If the Eagles are the Wildcard team from the East, the Chiefs will probably be the number one pick. But it could go both ways. So I mean, Chiefs could end up on a Monday with this game, depending on how things work out.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, because above all else, I mean, the kicker of it is, Matt, is like with the Niners locking up the one seed, I mean, Cowboys and Eagles are both going to be, market wise, they're both going to be available for that wild card weekend. So sure. I mean, you know, you're going to have, no matter who they play, they're both going to be latched into. They're going to be latched into one of those premier things. Fox is going to take one of them, and then either NBC or ESPN is going to be battling for the other one, and then whoever else has to settle for the Kansas City Chiefs, which is a terrible consolation. Whether that's CBS, NBC, ESPN, we'll see. But I mean, I don't think any of those three are going to end up on the Peacock streaming one. Personally, I don't think that's going to be the road that goes.
Well, I think we are in agreement, though, that this Sunday night, I think Chiefs fans want to root for Miami. Send Buffalo down as far away from you as you can. So that if they did have to face them in the AFC Championship game, it would be in Kansas City. If you have to play Miami on the road, I don't think that's as scary as playing Buffalo on the road. So I'm with you there. So I think you've got your rooting interest set for this week. Nick, anything else on your mind before we wrap it up? Any parting thoughts?
No, I am. That you do have me curious, though, now. Because Buffalo, say that Buffalo loses, there are ways to where they are the 7 seed.
Yes.
So then 2 plays 7. So then the Dolphins would play the Bills again.
Yes. Back-to-back
weeks.
I mean, obviously the worst case scenario playoff for the picture for the Chiefs would have to be go through Buffalo, Miami, and Baltimore.
But say that 2-7 ends up being Miami and Buffalo, then, and Buffalo wins the 7th seed, then Buffalo is the one that's got to go to Baltimore, and then the Chiefs would potentially get the 4-5 seed.
Yeah.
And if the Chiefs maybe win and all that stuff.
Maybe the home field advantage holds up in the 4-5 game, and suddenly, you know, you're playing the Houston Texans, hosting them in the divisional round.
There's a lot of interesting scenarios. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting scenarios if the Buffalo Bills both win and lose. That's why that's such a good Sunday night football game.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot on the line.
That's very intriguing. I'm intrigued, Matt.
But you make a good point about what the Chiefs. I mean, they've got some scouts right now who are just brushing off everything that they've got from Miami and Buffalo from their plans earlier this year and the scouting reports and just updating them since then. And they've got a few more teams, and they'll be watching those games closely on Saturday and Sunday to see who they have to narrow it down to, because before Sunday night, they'll know it's down to one of three teams at least.
Yeah, and this is kind of a week. I mean, we'll see what happens, but like, this is also kind of a week where it doesn't really, you don't have to go heavy into your Chargers game plan if you don't want to. Like, in terms of prepping and everything, you can actually put more prepping wise if you need to into the Bills, the Dolphins, or whoever. So, I mean, I'll be interested to see how everything goes this week. It's going to be an intriguing week. It's something new, it's something different, and I'm just glad it's not a must-win situation right now.
And with those other teams playing early on Sunday, if you think for a second that, you know, the NFL gives scouts and evaluators a break, in those 7 hours between when they'll know whether it's, you know, which team that they're playing, they are absolutely going to continue to scout any team that was possible in those 7 hours between the end of the early games on Sunday and between the end of Dolphins Buffalo, because that's how the NFL is.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Well, that is that for us for this week's episode of 41 is the Mic. We appreciate you greatly. Appreciate you joining us in the new year, where the Chiefs are currently undefeated in 2024. Got that going for us.
Yeah.
And truly appreciate everything you guys have done for us this season. This has been remarkable. The podcast has been able to grow every week, and I truly appreciate everything, that the support that we've gotten from all of you, a lot of kind words. Had someone stop me, Nick, outside the stadium yesterday, asked me about the score. So,
Yeah.
So, you know, the fans are out there, and we appreciate you, and I appreciate that. So for Nick and I, and we appreciate everything. Thank you very much. Happy New Year. And
this isn't working. I'm sorry. It's not popping. I just stuffed it up. It didn't pop. I'm sorry.
I think that's a fitting conclusion, Nick.
Yeah. Hopefully the Chiefs playoff things go better than that thing. No wonder it was as cheap as it was. Sorry, guys. It was a New Year's bottle that's supposed to pop and have confetti. But luckily, the cleanup won't be bad now, so that's positive.
You provided us enough entertainment today, Nick, for the New Year's celebration.
I wanted to get my money's worth for all of you guys, okay? That's what I was trying to do.
Those are now tax deductions. Thank you very much.
I didn't even think about that, so. Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy. What can I say?
Yeah, 2024 is off to a bang right now. Now that I got that in my hip pocket.
We thank you all. Have a great week. We will see you next week after the Chiefs and Chargers at one time or another. And we'll be looking forward to the playoffs and taking a sneak peek at that. So from both of us, have a great weekend. Or a great week, as the case may be.
And I bid you adieu.
You've been listening to 41 is the Mic, presented by KSHB 41, your home of the Chiefs and Chiefs Digest.